Let us pray. O God, who calls us here on this sunny day, who calls us to walk in your light, be with us. Shine your light upon us and allow us to see you as clearly as we see our own hands and feet. Help us to journey up the mountain and prepare us to come down into our lives. This we pray in the name of the one who leads us, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever stepped out of a dark movie theater in the middle of a sunny summer's day? Do you remember what happened? All of a sudden, the blinding light of the sun was too much. Your eyes probably hurt. If you're like me, the first reaction is to go like this, to shield your eyes so that you're not overwhelmed. Even as you walk out into the warmth and beauty of the day, you need to adjust. Adjust to being in the presence of the light. When faced with the brightness of the sun after being in the dark, it's hard to look directly out, not to mention looking directly at the sun, which we're told not to do, because it'll damage our eyes, because its brightness is just too much. Our scriptures, our Hebrew scriptures, tell us that the same is true for humans looking at the full and complete glory of God. We are told that when Moses asks God to stand in God's full presence, God responds by saying to Moses, "I'll show you my back, but you cannot see my face, because no one who sees me will live." In short, the full experience of God's presence, being in God's glory, in God's ultimate form, was too much for humans to handle. And so Moses got to experience God's glory, moving past him, viewing just the backside. And even that left Moses with an incredible afterglow. In our reading today, we find ourselves up another mountain. Have you ever noticed how many biblical stories and major events happen on top of mountains? On this day, Peter and James and John go with Jesus on a hike. And at the top of the mountain, they experience the glory of God starting to break forth from Christ. Not just in his actions and his words as they've been seeing all along, but in the glow like the sun. The glory of God shining forth from Jesus' human body. Can you imagine the shock of Peter, James, and John? The brightness that caused them to shield their eyes as Jesus was a ball of dazzling light. That overwhelming bright light representing God's full presence, emphasizing that God's glory resided in Jesus himself. And then they heard it. Those words that were heard not so long ago at Jesus' baptism. Repeated here again, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And witnessing this event, along with James and Peter and John, were the images of Moses and Elijah, major figures in Jewish faith, giver of the law and chief prophet in Israel's return from Baal worship. Jesus' identity confirmed and sealed. What an affirmation to have heard and seen. What a way to strengthen the faith of those who had the privilege to stand on the mountaintop that day, for those who were touched by that light. And wanting to capture that moment, wanting to not let it slip by without notice, there's the suggestion to build tents for each of those present. To build something remarkable to mark that moment. Isn't that like us? When something amazing happens, we want to mark it. We want something to remember it by. Maybe it's a picture that we take, or a trinket from where we've traveled, or maybe that story that you keep telling. We want something to hold on to that moment. We don't want to leave it. We always want to be on that high. It's kind of one of the compulsions of our society. It's part of the reason why we end up with way too much stuff. We seek the best. We seek reminders of those things that have brought us joy and glory and have been amazing experiences. We collect. We collect those things that make us happy, those things that are shiny, and those things that are new. Those things that glow. And with this compulsion, we also foster a disposable world. When the shine has worn off, we often throw it out or put it in a box or have our shelves overwhelmed. When the joy starts to fade, we go and seek out yet another mountaintop. When something brings us grief, we turn away from it. In today's scripture, we have Jesus and the disciples in the peak of amazement on the mountaintop high. But beyond that shine and beyond the glow, beyond the warmth and the closeness that Jesus is having with the disciples and with us, beyond the good feelings and the excitement, the hallelujahs that probably left those disciples' lips, we run into the first part of our scripture today. We are reminded of the prediction that will ultimately come true once we walk down the mountain. You see, before our scripture started today, Jesus had been preparing those closest to him to accept that he was on his way to Jerusalem, that there he would undergo great suffering. He had been laying down the path, telling them that this road of faith would not always be easy, would not always be the mountaintop high. He told them, "If any of you want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world but to forfeit their life? And what will they give in return for their life?" The truth is, the walk of faith, even for Jesus, was a walk that sometimes felt and sometimes feels like the way your legs burn as you approach the summit of a mountain. After walking what feels like straight up for over 700 kilometers as you reach the summit, over 700 feet above sea level. I don't know if any of you have had that glorious experience. That moment where you think, can I take another step? Is getting to the top worth it? I have. It's worth it. But it's a hard trudge at times. The truth is, we want our walk of faith to be like those mountaintop experiences. The retreats we go on and experience God's presence, the connection we have when we're singing in fellowship here, the joy we have as we gather in community, or when we reach out to help others. But the walk of faith is not just those highs. It's also the valley where we struggle. It's the waiting and the fear and the uncertainty of life. It is this experience of wondering if God is present, which yields the surprise and the glory of God being there. When we are faithful, when we are following Christ, we cannot avoid death and pain and suffering, no matter how much we might want to. Our memorial affirmation in our communion service tells us Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We cannot get to resurrection without death. And often, as much as we want to admit it, we can't get to God's full blessing without some struggle, without the laying aside of some of what we want to take up some of what God wants us to carry. For in the struggle to live faithfully, in the struggle to love fully, we come to rely on God. In the struggle, we come to see what is most important. In the struggle, as we take on the challenge of being faithful, we join Jesus in picking up the cross, and we are shaped into who we are called to be. When we focus only on those mountaintop experiences, we miss part of our faith. In the same way as if we focus only on the cross, we miss the call to abundant life. We need both to experience the fullness of life in God. And so, today, we're standing at this point where we're about to change church seasons. We're standing at this point where we're on a mountaintop and things are amazing. And yet we know just around the corner. Just around the corner is Lent. A historic time of repentance and reflection. Self-denial sometimes. So I want to challenge you. As we're standing on this high, as we are about to join in communion with Christ, that we take some time as we enter Lent to reflect. To reflect about where we are seeking to build dwelling places in our lives, and how those places may prevent us from going where Jesus is calling us. To reflect on those places where we are stuck in struggle and hurt and pain. And reflect on where Jesus may be calling us to move into joy and celebration. I invite you today, and as we journey through Lent, to seek a balance. The climb up to the mountaintop with its struggles and the joy of being there. For often, those two places are wrapped up in one. May we, as we go about today and this week, walk into the sun and allow our eyes to adjust, to celebrate that we are standing in the presence of God and God is at work around us, and to notice those moments of God shining forth. And from there, follow where the cross leads us. May God bless us with abundant joy and abundant life as we follow both up and down the mountain. Amen.
Now let us join our hearts and voices as we turn in Voices United to number 642, Be Thou My Vision, number 642 in Voices United. Please be seated. At this time, as we look into our hearts and see what we have to offer, we are reminded of the many parts of this community that make us not just an amazing place to serve, but an amazing place to worship. Today, unbeknownst to them, I would like us to take a moment to celebrate our choir. You guys stand for a second? Yeah. Celebrate our choir, Alexis and Sharon. Because of the gifts that they offer each and every Sunday and that they practice through the week, we are able to have such a deep and meaningful worship. So thank you to the choir, to Alexis, to Sharon, for all that you do to make this time so, so special. Thank you. And now let us reflect in our own way the ways that we might build up the kingdom in this place. Our offerings will now be received.